You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible begins there. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what mean have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Would you read with me out loud verse number 12, please? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. And let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us these last few minutes of this service. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for being so good. I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have the Bible. I thank you that we have the confidence and the assurance that we serve a risen Savior. I thank you for the gospel account of the resurrection. I thank you for the disciples. I thank you for the witnesses, the over 500 that witnessed the living, resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we have the Bible and we have something whereby we can build our lives upon its truth. And I pray that you'd help us tonight. Speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our series through the book of Acts, we have seen, of course, Acts chapter 1, the upper room. And then Acts chapter 2, we see Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We saw the folks that got saved and baptized at Pentecost. And then in chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple, and there's a lame man, and they heal this man, and there were some people that got upset. Can you imagine that people would get upset because you're healing somebody? But can I tell you, the devil doesn't like anything you're doing for the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're pushing a broom for the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're fixing the building. It doesn't matter if you're taking care of the nursery. It doesn't matter if you're doing the sound or the bus or soul winning or prayer. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're doing something for the Lord, Satan doesn't like it. And let's not forget, we are in a battle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the religious crowd, they don't like it. But Peter says, "Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what this is all about. Let me tell you who it was that healed this man." He said, "It wasn't us, but it was Jesus." Oh, and by the way, since I mentioned Jesus, I want to talk about him for a little while. And Peter preaches. But then we get to chapter 4, and we see in verse number 1 that the captain of the temple, the priests, the Sadducees, verse number 2, they were grieved. That word grieved there in verse number 2, it means to be greatly disturbed. They were agitated. They were angry. Oh, they were frustrated because Peter just preached and people got saved and people turned to Jesus, and this was messing up everything that they were trying to do. Because by this time, I think you understand, not only were the Jews following the laws of Moses, not only were they following the commands of Moses, but they were following laws upon laws upon laws. And it was a religious system that was built into place, and these priests kind of liked the fact that they got to call the shots. They got to tell people what to do. They got to order people, and they got to have the position of authority. And can I tell you something? Anytime that you get excited about having some kind of authority or being the boss, that's a bad position to be in. I'll say, you know, people say, why don't you ask the pastor? I say, I wish I had somebody to tell you to ask, you know. But can I tell you, we're not trying to be the ones that are being lifted up. We're trying to lift up Jesus. And we're not preaching what we think. We're not preaching what we want. We're not preaching what our ideas are. We're just preaching Jesus. We're preaching the Bible. And as long as we're preaching the Bible, you don't have to be ashamed of that. You know, the world will mock and say, "What? You're crazy. You've lost your mind. You're going to church. You're serving the Lord. You're working in a ministry. You're doing all this extra choir practice, and you're going out soul winning, and you're going out bus visiting, and you're following up on your Sunday school students, and you spend Saturdays preparing your Sunday school lesson. You could be out partying, having a good time. The world doesn't understand what we're doing. But I got news for you. What we're doing is something that is eternal. What we're doing is something that pleases the Lord. And what we're doing is not for us. What we're doing is for the Lord. And they could not stand the fact that this man had been healed and that Jesus Christ was preached. Notice verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Number one, I see in this passage, I see the frustration. These religious leaders were frustrated. They were disturbed. You know why they were mad? Because people were learning about Jesus. Jesus was being taught to the people. You know what we need in our churches today? I believe we need more preaching, but I also believe we need more teaching. We need young people to have a foundation. We need adults to have a foundation. You've got to know what you believe. If you don't know what you believe, you're going to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. And it used to be that every wind of doctrine had to come and knock on your door. It used to be that every wind of doctrine had to talk to you at the workplace. But now every wind of doctrine is on the internet. Every wind of doctrine is at your fingertips. And you will be bombarded with things that sometimes they sound good. People will talk about Jesus and they'll talk about the Bible. But I want to tell you, we're not in this thing because we've picked out a verse and, you know, we've built a religion on a verse. We believe in the whole counsel. We believe in the whole Bible. We believe that it's all true from Genesis to Revelation. And we must teach Jesus. We must teach the scriptures. We must teach the way of salvation. We must teach what is right and what is wrong based upon the Word of God. Jesus needs to be preached. The resurrection needs to be preached. The cross needs to be preached. Sin needs to be preached against. And Jesus Christ needs to be exalted in our preaching. We need to preach about serving God. We need to preach about winning souls. We need to preach about living holy and living godly. We need these things preached. You know why? Because we all need the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. These religious leaders were frustrated. And I'll say today, I don't think we ought to go out and try to make people mad. That's not the goal. Don't go to work tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever you go back to work and don't say, I wonder who I can make mad today. You don't have to do that. You just live for God and somebody's not going to like it. You just stand for the truth and somebody's going to be upset. You just stand on the principles of the Word of God and you just talk about the fact that marriage is still between a man and a woman and people are going to be upset. You just talk about the Bible. You talk about creation. You talk about what is right and wrong. And you talk about the sanctity of life. And there will be people, they will not like that. You don't have to go looking for a fight. You just stand for what's right and the fight will come to you. But I see the frustration, number one. Number two, I see the force. It says in verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. This phrase, laying hands on them, it means to seize and to take away as a prisoner. So now Peter and John, they've healed the lame man. Peter has preached to these folks that have gathered together, and people have been saved, and now they have said, enough is enough. We're not standing for this anymore. They took Peter, they took John, they hauled them off, they put them in prison, and they used force against them. You say, why? Well, look at verse number 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Do you think Satan is going to sit by? Do you think Satan is going to let that go and just say, oh, well, you know, I guess we'll just let them do whatever they want to do? Oh, no. Satan gets angry when one person gets saved. Satan gets upset when the gospel is preached to anybody. Satan gets upset for everybody that's witnessed to. Satan gets upset for every Christian that prays. Satan gets upset for every Sunday school teacher that stands up to teach the word of God. And when 5,000 people get saved, Satan goes into action. And this is not just the forces of a physical force. This is spiritual force. This is a spiritual battle. And I want to tell you, at Victory Baptist Church, I'm not saying this to scare you. You know I don't preach like this a lot. I probably should preach like this more. But Satan is not happy with what's going on at Victory Baptist Church, in case you were wondering. You think about the Bibles, the last couple years that have been distributed to Roanoke Rapids and Weldon and Littleton and Gaston and Garysburg. You think about the Bibles that have been passed out and given to every person, every home in our area. Do you think Satan's excited about that? Do you think Satan likes? Can I tell you, this is a battle that we are fighting against Satan himself. Do you think that Satan has been excited these last few years that there are now almost 200 students that are enrolled in a Christian school? Where every day of the day is started off with prayer. Where every day the word of God is open. Where every day they are taught about Jesus. Do you think Satan's excited about that? I want to tell you, don't be surprised when opposition comes. Don't be surprised when Satan fights against a church that's passing out Bibles and a church that's winning souls and a church that's trying to educate young people. Don't be surprised when Satan's upset at a church that's running buses and bringing in boys and girls and teenagers and telling them that Jesus loves them. Don't be surprised when there's opposition. I'd be surprised if there wasn't opposition. John Newton was the author of that famous song we sang this morning in the service, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. John Newton had been a slave trader, and he was gloriously, miraculously saved, and he became a preacher of the gospel. But John Newton said this. He said, I've seen that whenever God is about to do some great work, you can always expect some great opposition from Satan. And friend, I want to tell you, we see it in the book of Acts. We shouldn't be surprised. Did we sign up for the Christian life thinking it was going to be easy? Did you sign up to serve God thinking that there would not be any resistance? I don't know. I probably shouldn't bring up the final four. And don't tell me who won the game this evening. I don't know, and I may watch it later. But have you noticed in the final four, if you're following that, have you noticed that the first round, it's pretty easy for the good teams, right? When you're a number one team and you're playing against the number 16 ranked team in that division, that's not too hard. But the more you win, the longer it goes. It gets tougher, doesn't it? There's no more gimmies. There's no more freebies now. They are fighting it out. And can I tell you, in the Christian life, when you got saved, it was a battle. But the more you make steps and take steps and make decisions to live for God, it's going to get more and more intense. And I believe even more as we see the approaching of the day that Jesus comes back. He is coming soon. Satan knows that his time is short, and there is a battle. I see the force. Why? Because people were getting saved. Why? Because Jesus was being preached. Why? Because Satan was working to stop the advance of the gospel. And friend, I want to say this evening, when Satan fights, it's not time to back down. It's not time to give up. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's time to put on the whole armor of God. It's time to get prayed up. It's time to get more determined to say, by the grace of God, I will not back down. I want to keep on keeping on. I want to serve the Lord. I see the force. But thirdly, I see the faith. It's found in verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. That's what faith is. Faith is believing. And many of these people, 5,000 to be exact, they heard the word of God, they believed, and they got saved. The preachers were put in jail. But that didn't stop people from getting saved. You see, you can put a Christian in prison, but you can't stop him from witnessing. You can knock a Christian down, but you can't keep him from getting up. You can fight against the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you're not going to win because we are on the winning side. We have victory in Jesus. I see the faith, number three, the faith of these people. They believed and got saved. And that's the way people get saved today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But here's what's so interesting. Sometimes we say that's the way a person gets saved. But faith and believing, that's not just the way to get saved. That's the way to live every day. That's the way to go through life. That's the way you got to get up tomorrow morning and you've got to live by faith. And you got to get up the next morning and you got to live by faith. You say, how do we have faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Your faith will not be stronger than your relationship with this book. If you don't read the book, if you don't study the book, if you don't memorize the Word of God, your faith is going to be weak. You're going to have some force. You're going to have some things fighting against you. You're going to have Satan sticking up his ugly head and trying to stop you. And you're going to back down if you don't have the power that comes from faith in the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe that God is God. You've got to believe that he is king. You've got to believe that he is Lord. You've got to believe that he is in control. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You keep seeking the Lord. You keep on praying. You keep on studying. You keep on following God. You keep on serving God. You keep doing what you're doing because you know that God will reward you as you diligently seek him. Number four, quickly, I see in verse number 8, I see the filling. Verse number 5, it says, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Do you recognize some of those names in there like Annas, Caiaphas, those who were responsible for the death of Christ? Now look at this. Peter and John are standing before these same guys. And they're probably thinking, wait a minute. They put Jesus to death. Now we know he didn't stay dead, but we kind of like to not have to go through that if we can. And now they're standing before these men to give an answer. And verse number 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? They asked Peter and John, what in the world are you doing? Who in the world gave you permission to do this? Where does your authority come from? Where do you have authorization to stand up and to preach something that is contrary to what we're trying to do? Peter had the right answer because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When Peter was not filled with the Holy Spirit, he was chopping off ears. When Peter was not filled with the Spirit, he was sticking his foot in his mouth. When Peter was not filled with the Spirit, he was denying that he even knew the Lord. And now he is under examination. Now he is standing before these people who can put him to death. And the Bible says that Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Now, he didn't have to add that in there. But being filled with the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, it gives you confidence. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not worried about what everybody else is thinking and what everybody else is doing. And by the way, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Peter was filled, and he said, you crucified Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, even by him. By Jesus doth this man stand here before you whole. We see the filling of Peter. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you this evening, and I know it's Easter Sunday. I know many of you have had a busy day. You've been running from one family gathering to the next, and one Easter egg hunt to the next, and one family photo to the next. And I know it's been a busy, busy time. But tonight I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Because if we're not filled with the Spirit, we are setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves up for defeat if we're not filled with the Spirit. Peter was filled. Quickly, number five, I see in verses 10 and 11, I see the focus. Peter says, my focus is, I'm doing this, I'm preaching this by the name of Jesus. But it says in verse number 10 that Jesus is the one that you didn't have time for. Jesus is the one you didn't have need for. Jesus is the one you hated so much, you crucified him. And then verse number 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. If you've ever seen a construction project, and I have enjoyed these last few weeks, I've enjoyed seeing the progress over here with this drop-off area. It's so exciting. You know, what's amazing is the builders, they bring in their supplies, and they've been working. And Brother Mark, you've been here a couple Saturdays doing all that electrical work, and thank you so much for doing that. But the builders, they bring in the materials that they need, right? They bring in the materials they're going to use. And they use those materials, and the things that they don't need, the things that they don't use, I would say they set aside, but it'd probably be more realistic to say they throw them aside. Hey, this is broken. This is not right. This is extra. This is trash. And so those things, let's get those things out of the way because we need something done and we want it done right. Well, here's what Peter said. You threw out Jesus. And what you didn't realize is he was the most important thing. He was the stone that should have been the head cornerstone. He was the chief cornerstone. He was the thing that everything was supposed to be built on, and you threw him aside, and you crucified him, and you acted like you didn't even need Jesus. What about you? But I kind of bristle up a little bit, like, what's the problem with these people? But sometimes, I feel like that's the way we treat Jesus. We don't have much time for him until Sunday morning, and then we got our hour set aside, and then, you know, Sunday night, we got an hour set aside, and if we're not careful, we don't let Jesus be the head. We make him be the extra. We don't let Jesus sit in the front seat and steer the vehicle. We've got Jesus in the trunk like a spare tire is how some of us treat Jesus. But I see the focus. Peter said, you crucified Jesus. Jesus was a problem for you. Jesus was an inconvenience to you. But Peter said, I want to tell you, Jesus is the one I'm living for. Jesus is my focus. Jesus is my life. And friend, tonight, he's the only one that's worth living for. You could live 1,000 lives, and you could live to be successful, and you could live to make money, and you could live to be popular. And at the end of every one of those lives, you would have to look back and say, I wasted my life on something that didn't really matter, but a life that's lived for Jesus. And by the way, we only get one life, but that's all you need to take that one life and to make it count for him. Make Jesus your focus. Quickly, number six, I see the fight. We've already talked about this, but the fight is that Jesus was crucified. It was a fight, but guess who won? Jesus. It was a fight, but Jesus came out on top. It was a fight. They gave it their best. They did everything they could to stop him. Satan did everything he could to keep him down, but you cannot defeat the Son of God. It was a fight, but I'm glad I know who won that fight. I'm glad Jesus won the fight. And verse number 11 and 12, we see lastly the foundation, number 7. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter said, Jesus is not just a part of the building. Jesus is not just the window. He's not just the wall. He's not just the fixture. He's not just a part of the building. He is the foundation. And unless you have Jesus, you don't have anything. And unless I have Jesus, I don't have anything. The parable was given in Matthew chapter 7 of the wise man who built his house upon a rock. You remember that? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And I think probably both houses probably looked respectable until the storms came. And when the storms came and the wind blew and the waves beat upon that house, the Bible says that the house that was built upon the sand, it was destroyed because it was not built upon a rock. But the house that was built upon the rock, it withstood the storms, it withstood the wind, it withstood the rain, and it stood firm through the storm. The storms are coming. Maybe they've already come. Maybe they're here in your life right now. The storms are coming. You can mark it down. Don't wait for the storm to come to get your foundation right. Let's get that foundation built upon Jesus Christ now. Maybe you say, I've got my foundation. I know my life is built on Jesus. Good. Let's keep it that way. Let's not get distracted. Let's not get our focus on other things. Let's keep our focus upon Jesus Christ, that in all things He might have the preeminence.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.